Welcome in to the Fire Zone Show. We are back, coming off of another nail biter. I mean, it's just been one after another so far this season. You got a little time to catch your breath with the Broncos game, right? They kind of had that one under control, you know, for a part of the fourth quarter. They're a good part of the fourth quarter. But, man, overtime, we talk about everything in this game. Missed field goals, blocked field goals, all kinds of crazy things going on. But the Ravens come out with the win, man. 31-25 over the Colts, Monday Night Football, overtime game. It's me, MC, Denard. Let's start right there. How you doing, man? How you been?
I've been good, man. It's been a crazy week. It has been a crazy, interesting week. It's been a crazy NFL season so far. So I am interested to see what happens next.
Yeah, as crazy as that game was, just before we click record, we were talking about the whole John Gruden thing and the emails and Adam Schefter and everything that's been coming out. And, I mean, as crazy as the Ravens games have been, this is a whole nother level of crazy what's going on with that saga and the
investigation. Tip of the iceberg. Of whatever's going to roll downhill.
Yeah, we only seeing that little piece that's sticking up above the water. There's a whole lot more down there below the surface.
Somebody just throwing rocks at the top of it, just hitting the peak like ding.
Yep. And like you said, just going to be interesting to see what happens next. We know there's going to be something, but we're just going to sit back and see what unfolds. But anyway, we're going to look back at this Colts game and then, you know, look forward to the Chargers game, right? Big game. We're going to be there. We're going to actually be there in person, in the house, at the bank. 4-1 Ravens, 4-1 Chargers. Going to be a good one. Looking forward to that. Haven't been, man, I had to think about the last time I actually been there in person. It's been a while. It's even before the, it was about 2018, I think, is the last time I went to a game in person. So it's been a minute.
I think the last time I went maybe was the Raiders game.
Oh, the last time I played the Raiders?
Yeah.
In Baltimore? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was 2018.
Yeah.
It was like Lamar's second start, maybe. I think he played the Bengals first start.
Yeah.
And I think he had the Raiders second start. Okay. Yeah, it's been a minute, so I'm looking forward to it. And we got a great matchup. So that's gonna be fun. So we'll get into the Chargers. But looking back at this Colts game, man, you know, defense gave up some yards. No question about that. Defense gave up some yards. And you know, even a couple touchdowns. But when I was looking back, I was like, all right, well, if you look at it by possessions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Colts had 10 possessions. They went touchdown, fumble, a strip sack by Owe, punt, field goal, right? That's first half possessions.
Now, before you move on to the second half, let's talk about that field goal. Let's talk about the series of events before that, because that should have never happened. There was a horrible call on Avert that prolonged that drive and gave them that 3 points. So I just need to put that out there because that really irritated me, and I knew that was going to come back. They almost came back to bite it because of that play. And I didn't like the call when they made it. I still don't like the call, and I'm surprised no one really brought it up because it could have really done some damage.
That was a DPI, right? That was a
penalty. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, man, that was – I mean, look, he had some rough moments throughout that game. We'll talk about that, but I didn't think that one warranted
the flag. That one really irritated me.
Yeah, but they called it. But anyway, you look at that first half, those possessions, you say, okay, we gave up
10.
Gave up 10, and like you said, probably you should have only been 7, really. But, you know, refs did what they did. Now, it was really that third quarter. So you go to the second half, right? Mm-hmm. Touchdown, right? Back to back. You got the big play to Pittman Jr. Mm-hmm. down the field over Averett. And then, you know, the next possession, they kind of just got chunks. I mean, it was only 6 plays. They went 81 yards in 6 plays. And it was kind of just chunks.
Yeah, and that's the only drive that bothered me all night.
Yeah.
That drive was kind of one was like, okay, we kind of just gave up. And as a defense, and I've been on a team like that, when things don't seem to be going right, you just give up two big touchdowns, gave up one right at the first quarter, and gave up right one out of the half. Those things happen, but that was the drive that bothered me the most of all the drives all night, was that one. And I guarantee you, Wink, if you nail Wink to the wall one day and said, what drive bothered you the most so far through the season, it would be that one.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can even look at, like you said, that the first drive really was one play, 76-yard touchdown by Taylor off that screen. And, you know, people are going to say, yeah, that shouldn't happen. You know, you should be able to tackle the ball there. Even if it's a 10- or 15-yard game, whatever, you should be able to tackle the ball. But that stuff does happen. It does happen.
That's the issue with – that's the main issue with zone blitzes, is if you get caught right, that's going to happen. And you saw throughout the rest of the game, if there was ever a zone – if there was a zone blitz call, the DN stopped. No one moved. Everybody took one step because they knew throughout the rest of the game that the Colts weren't going to do anything else but run that slip screen. So you got burned once. They make the adjustment. Fine. Keep moving.
Yep. So that third quarter, you know, you give up those two touchdowns. They missed an extra point on one of those, and then went for two and didn't get it on the other one. So they still only came away with 12 as opposed to 14. But then last three possessions of the game, field goal, blocked field goal, missed field goal. So as much as you can look at the yardage totals and say, oh, man, you know, Carson Wentz threw for 400. Colts ran for over 100, you know, combined Mack and Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines. You can look at all of that. But at the end of the day, when they needed to get stops, or when Calais Campbell needed to block a field goal, this is what they did. You know, it's what they did. So I know people will look back at this one and, you know, oh, we got to fix the defense. The defense is broken. Hey, we can get into some individual things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe there's a discussion to be had there. But overall, I didn't come away, especially once I watched the coaches' film, I didn't come away thinking this was as bad as I felt. And that's what you always say. Like, when you go back and watch the film, it's never as bad as you think it is. It's never as good as you think it is.
Well, you have to see what you – that's why, as a coach, it is very important to get the temperature of your team within the first 5 minutes of the game. And the Ravens knew defensively, real quick, that – the Colts had a game plan to attack Avert where he was weak last year, which is in man coverage somewhere around the 12, the 15-yard mark, where I don't know what it is with his hip turn, something along those lines, but he struggles in those intermediate route turns getting out to the receiver. So they attacked that, and they came with a plan. So now as a defensive coordinator, you can't give help to outside routes. Carson Wentz is a very big arm quarterback. You're not going to get help on those things. So now you got to turn it into a red zone game. I have to keep them to three. I have to keep them to three. I have to force them to three. That is the entire game plan going forward. I got to force them to three. Because you already know from the first 5 minutes of the game, it's a track meet.
Yeah.
So how can you limit the damage? And you're going to see it Sunday. How can you limit the damage?
Yeah, that Chargers offense, like I said, we'll get into that. But, man, those they can get up and down the field, and they can put some points on the board. Just saw that in the Cleveland game just this past week. Both throwing up a 40-piece, over a 40-piece.
I am extremely worried about the Cleveland. I would be – if I was Cleveland, I'd be very worried about your D-line right now. Hmm. Just throwing it out there. I'd be a little worried. You had control of that game, and somehow you lost control of that game.
Yeah.
Up 14.
Yeah. No, they did. I mean, they were running the ball well, you know.
Especially when you got those two guys that can run the football. Like, no. That game should have been put away. It should have been 33-21. That's it. They should have been on like four possessions the entire second half.
But they're better. Obviously, the Browns are better than what they've been. But in that game, you know, they kind of still found a way to kind of do what some of the old Browns teams used to do. They found a way to lose. You know, they found a way to lose. And that's that was kind of their MO for a long time. And it feels like they've been turning the corner, turning the page on that a little bit. But in that game, it was kind of like the same old story. But let's go through position groups like we normally do on this Colts game, and then we'll go both feet into that Chargers game. We'll start defensive line, as we always do. How do you think D-line played?
I think they played well. For the circumstance they were put in, I'm a little worried with the off tackle runs. That is a little bit concerning. I'm a little concerned with McPhee. I don't see the same McPhee last year, so that's a little bit of that concerns me a little bit. But overall, I think we're seeing growth out of Justin. I think we're seeing growth out of Washington. Justin Houston seems like he is now in game shape and willing and able to absorb 30 to 40 snaps and don't slow down. So that's really encouraging. Campbell is healthy and happy. And the man child outside, who is developing a rep of in critical situations, I can't be blocked.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pay that man now. Whatever rule you need to break, just go ahead and put that to the side. Let that man know he's not living in Baltimore ever.
Yeah. It's scary with what he's showing to be
now.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, and he's going to develop. He's not going to be a one-trick pony. I think Mr. Houston and him are going to be best friends forever. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's still building the toolbox. He's creating the toolbox, right, on the fly in front of us. And like you said, as he's developing, he's already established – that reputation of, like you said, we can't block this dude, right? And gotta have it situations. The defense has gotta have a stop. We can't block this dude, especially if it's pass. Well, even run, it didn't matter. He did that against Kansas City, even if it's run. Can't block.
And I like what they were doing with him and Campbell on the same side, and then bringing either a slot corner or bringing another outside linebacker. They were bringing him in more outside shoulder of the guard, outside shoulder of the guard, inside shoulder of the tackle, and literally just blowing up that gap. Yeah. It just collapsed the pocket, and it doesn't give those running quarterbacks an extra kind of get out. It shortens their corner, so they have to get deeper. So helps the pass rush get there faster, and more containment is allowed.
Yeah. And we'll touch on that when we get to the Chargers, because that there might be something there that you mentioned to me earlier that, you know, something they might want to look to employ against Herbert, but in a specific way, in a very specific way. So D-line play well again, good thing. Like you said, all those guys, credit to them. Campbell, man, just every week I watch this guy. When he's healthy, even at 35, when he wants to go, you can't stop him. You can't stop him when he wants to go. You just can't stop him. He's still too big, too strong, too powerful. Still got some quickness. When the switch is on, he's going to do what he wants on the D-line. Linebackers, our favorite group. We like to talk about a group near and dear to your heart. You played the position, you coached the position. What do you think about the play of the linebacker group in this game?
As my old coach would once say, if we play the game like that, we're going to go ahead and put this tape right here. We're going to put this right here on this box. We ain't never gonna talk about that ever again. We good.
I was afraid you were gonna say that.
Any questions? Okay. Moving on. There's way too much thinking going on and not enough playing. It's plain and simple. Too many people doing too many things that they're not supposed to be doing and worrying about everybody else. And for some reason, the fundamentals have left the building. And I know we've talked about doing this, you know, next couple days, whatever that might be, but we're going to do a quick film session on Mr. Queen and everyone else. And just to say that fundamentals is an issue would be an understatement.
Yeah. You mentioned that film study. I want to give credit where credit is due.
Yes.
We always appreciate people who reach out and interact with the show. It was Trent Washington at Trent Wash on Twitter sent me a message. Appreciated the show, how much he enjoyed listening to it. Thanked you, you know, for all your knowledge and insight, and specifically asked if you would do a film breakdown of the inside linebackers, because it's a position that you have personal experience with. So he really wanted to hear your and see your perspective on, you know, what you're seeing from these guys when you watch their film. You've talked about it, but he's just like, hey, if you guys can just, you know, whatever you choose, what a game, how many plays, whatever you want to do, just to kind of show us some stuff visually on what you see going on. And I think, I mean, we could pick this game. We've talked about other games, the things that you just described, you could probably pick those out in any of the games, but this one is probably,
it has not gotten better since Kansas City. I would say it's gotten worse. And I'm not saying that to say that Queen is not going to be a great player. I still believe he's going to be a great player in this league on this football team. But he was put at a disadvantage at LSU. I don't think he had the foundation installed that you need as a linebacker to be successful early on in the position. And it's flashing now because now he's got so much to process. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. And then when he has to come back to his center before the snap, he doesn't have a foundation yet. He doesn't have a foundation like Ray Lewis come back to his foundation and say, okay, I'm here. I'm set. I'm ready to rock and roll. And it's autopilot. I don't have to think about it. I'm locked in. I know what plays are coming, this, that, and the other. He's still worried about getting people lined up. Who's doing this? Who's doing that? What am I doing? So, a lot going on.
We talked about it earlier today. We both kind of agree on, you know, how good we still think he can be. But it's just a process.
Yep.
It's a process, and it's going to take time. And I know people look at the draft slot, first round pick, going into second year, you know, this, that, and the third. You can talk about all those different things and the expectations that come along with all of that. But it's process, and it takes time. And there's no set, like, amount of time for each player, right? You're expecting, okay, this guy should be good by X.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
But let's not forget here. He's playing not up to his expectations. Not up to some fans' expectations. But the last two games, they've given up 7 points and 25 points. In the NFL.
Yeah.
Why your linebackers are struggling. Okay. Yeah. Once again, no reason to panic. Things can be fixed.
Yep.
Now, let's move on to Mr. Harrison, on the other hand. I think Mr. Harrison is a very good linebacker against the run. I think he struggles against the pass. And we talked about this earlier. I think there needs to be a switch. And I think it would fix a lot of problems, particularly in the pass, in the pass coverage. I think someone's being wasted in the wrong slot. I don't think he's necessary out there right now.
Yeah, we got to see him play that I'll say his name, Tyus Bowser. We got to see that person.
I didn't want to cause a panic.
Yeah, no, we got to see that person in the Colts game, in some more passing situations. Not that we haven't. I mean, we've seen him out there in passing downs, but I think what I hadn't seen a lot this year, they may have shown it a couple of times, but I think this is a game where I've seen it the most, was him out there on a third down or even if it was second and long, you know, just an obvious passing situation, and him kind of playing inside and neither Queen or Harrison on the field. And I don't think that I'd seen that. Normally, you know, he might be in there with Queen. There's some kind of pressure package. One of them is coming or one of them is dropping. Usually it would be Queen who's coming and they kind of drop Bowser back. But they kind of took Queen off the field for some of those plays. I know at the end of the first half, Colts were in no huddle, was into the half. And you know, so they were in that package a lot with Bowser out there. But like I told somebody else, the fact that they even got into that package, regardless of getting kind of stuck in it because Colts went no huddle, the fact that they got into it showed that they had that going into the game. And that was something that they wanted to use going into the game. And we may see more of it. Because to your point, and I think this goes back to, as soon as they drafted, he's been Bowser. I'm talking about Bowser now. He's their best coverage linebacker.
I mean, without a doubt. He's the best in space. I think his value is more in pass coverage because I think he's more athletic. I think he proved last year how much he understands zone coverage. He understands leverage. He understands what it takes to be a coverage linebacker. And I think he gets wasted in the pass rush because then he's just one trick. I think if he's out in pass coverage, he can cover the tight end when you don't have to use Jimmy Smith on him. He can cover the running back out of backfield and have the speed and be a sure tackler out there in space than some guys who are out there in space right now who seem to can't catch a cold. So that's just my feeling of having Bowser inside and being able to use Harrison as more of just straight bull rush, just beat up tackles, and then OA can come in and get his 50 snaps. And Harrison can do 10 to 12 and just go bull rush, go stop the run. Like, now he just needs less responsibility right now so he can grow into his role.
And you see that with young players sometimes. And you've heard their position coaches sometimes even talk about that. Like, they increase what they're giving guys, you know, sometimes weekly. And then sometimes they realize, hey, we put too much on. There's too much on their plate right now. We got to pull some back because they're, like you said, they're not playing. They're thinking and they're not playing. So we got to pull some of this back. I mean, you give them, I guess, as much as you think they can handle. They show they can handle. But then, you know, you watch the games, you're like, hey, we probably got to dial some of this back a little bit because, you know, there's too much thinking going on. And as you've probably heard before, long old saying on defense, if you're thinking, you're stinking. So.
yeah, I've heard that one a long time.
Yeah, so.
That's up there with you couldn't play dead in a Western movie.
Yeah, that's one of them old school classic ones. And I think sometimes people take that the wrong way, though, like it's some kind of slight to the player. Sometimes it's just, hey, it's a young player. They got a lot of responsibility. And, you know, maybe it's just it's slowing them down. Right. Because it's just a little bit too much right now. And so you want them to play as fast as possible. So taking some of that off of their plate to help them play faster, that to me, that's not a slight towards the player. That's just like, hey, that's good coaching. If that's what I got to do to help him be at his best, then that's on me, right?
Yeah.
I'm butting my head up against a wall if I'm like, well, no, sink or swim. He's just going to get it. I'm going to keep giving it to him. To me, that's not good coaching. So
now, And I think they learned from the Carrera experiment that that's just not going to fly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, hey, I, like you said, at the end of the day, we think those guys are going to be okay. Maybe you got to tweak some of the roles and tweak some of the things you're asking them to do right now. But long run, we think those guys are going to be okay. And yeah, be on the lookout for that film breakdown episode. We're going to be working on that, try to get that out soon. And again, thanks to at Trent Wash on Twitter for asking us if we can do that. Appreciate him, all the kind words and for listening. So wow. Appreciate it, Trent. Yeah, appreciate it. We'll finish up here with the secondary. I know it'd be easy to lead with Anthony Averett. Because you know they did go after him, like you said, you could see that was clearly a part of their plan, was to attack him. But how do you think the secondary played overall?
Once again, they may have given up 400 yards, but they only gave up 25 points. So not as bad as it was when we looked at it. It wasn't as good as we thought it was. It was. What was needed for the performance that was in front of them? I think they had an average game. I think Humphrey would probably say it wasn't on top of his game late in that game. You know, Anthony Averett had one of those days. Just you clock in and you're just like, hey, I'm ready to play. It's Monday night. And whew. Some days it's just not there. You reach for it in every spot. You look for it. You look underneath the bench. You change some underwear and socks at halftime. Change your underwear. You might even take a shower. Like, coach, give me five. I got to take a shower. Like, I got to clear this out. And just sometimes it just doesn't go work that day. You ain't going to get out of it. So I think he'll be fine when he comes back. I guarantee you the Chargers are going to go after him, you know, no matter what. But guess what? It's a new day. Go make a play. That's all you can do. Like, control what you control. You can control yourself. So prepare yourself, understand the what's in front of you, and go get it, and we'll see. That's all you can do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think sometimes we as fans can get almost static with this stuff, right? You're looking at what happened in a game and it's like, that's all you can picture. You can't see somebody playing better. You know, you're just like, well, what I just saw, you know, I don't know how, I mean, you know, you hear coaches say it all the time about how it's a week to week league and people say, ah, that's cliche, but it really is. I mean, it's week to week, nothing lasts in this league. And I've had to learn that. And it seems like I relearn it every season, like good play or bad play. Neither one of them lasts forever, right?
No.
It changes. Yeah.
It changes. And it can change from quarter to quarter, half to half in some games. So
sure. So could he come back? Could Anthony Averett come out and have a really good game? Even though, you know, you're thinking about some of the guys he could go up against. You're thinking of Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, even though Mike Williams missed Wednesday and Thursday a practice with a knee issue. So we'll see if he goes. But, you know, you're thinking about that because that was a point, right? People were making about the Colts game. Like, oh, who are these receivers that are, you know, getting the best of him? I mean, look, just because you don't know their names, they're in the NFL. So yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's not 400. Like, come on now. Like,
Yeah, it is what it is. And to your point about the yards, and we talked about that Cleveland Chargers game. I mean, Herbert threw for 398, and they scored 7 touchdowns on Cleveland.
Seven. And so, it when you watch it, it didn't seem like it was hard. It was a light 7.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Cleveland needs to. Like, hold on, that didn't look good.
Yeah, because you got to keep it in context, so you can look at those two defensive performances and say, okay, yeah, 76-yard touchdown on screen, another long pass play, a little drive with some chunk plays. And then basically that was it. It was field goals after that in terms of any points that the Colts got. Whereas Cleveland, I just told you, it was 7 touchdowns And if you look at the end of that game, I mean, it's punt, touchdown, 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 touchdown in the game.
Like, at what point do you, because I watched most of the second half. I watched most of this drive. And it wasn't like San Diego was grinding. It wasn't like watching the Ravens game in the fourth quarter where it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Herbert would drop in the pocket, take a second, maybe fix his hair, then sprint out to the right and throw a dime 40 yards on the sideline. I'm like, first of all, how do you defend that? But then how are you not prepared as a pass rush? Because he's literally doing it on every single drop back when he's pressured. And sometimes he just leaves the pocket because he wants to.
Yeah. And you've got Myles Garrett. You got Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, you got some names over there on that pass rush. That's for another day. That's where we're going to have our Browns games. We're going to be able to get in all of that. But that's kind of a natural segue. We already been talking about Justin Herbert, so we just go ahead and dive in on the Chargers now. And let's start right at the top with the QB, Justin Herbert, young phenom, second year, playing probably about as well as any quarterback in the league. When you go into this game as defensive coordinator and you're thinking about Justin Herbert, right? We'll talk about run game and some other parts of defense. When you're thinking about Justin Herbert, what's your approach to defending Justin Herbert?
I'm going to treat him kind of like Mahomes in terms of I need to get pressure in his face, but I also need to be high to his throwing side. So the end that's rushing from his right side, our left end, which would be OA, needs to stay high and control. And I need a push from inside, and my pressure's coming from inside. Because the one thing I've noticed with Herbert in the games I've watched, he doesn't climb the pocket like he should. He likes to escape to the right. He'll kind of bail, and he's got the arm strength to deal with it. So, flicking a wrist, he's going to throw 40 yards and put it on the mark. But going into this game and understanding who the Chargers are, they're going to screen you to death, draw you to death, and then try to bang one over the top on you with Mike Williams, with Keenan Allen. Now, what I've seen like they struggle a little bit with is when you get up and kind of press them a little bit because they're bigger receivers.
Yeah.
So that throws off the timing. So I wouldn't be surprised you're going to see a lot of press coverage. You're probably going to see a lot of cover one. I wouldn't be a lot of two-man, some combination of that. I wouldn't say they're going to bring six and seven a lot, but I would lean more towards the Broncos game plan than I would the Kansas City game plan.
Okay.
So I would heat him up and test him out early to see how he likes bodies flying from every direction, because they really haven't played a defense like that this week since the season started. They had the Cowboys. They had Cleveland, who literally sits in cover two and does nothing else, which is why they get picked apart. So really haven't played a defense to do a lot of multiple coverages. They played the Raiders. So I'm interested to see how he responds. I'm sure he's going to come out and be excited about the challenge, but I'm pressing him up the middle and I'm making sure I'm keeping him contained so he can't roll right.
Yeah, I was looking up so I couldn't remember some of the teams they played. So they played the football team, who's been in the news lately. It was the first game of the season.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that one.
Yeah. They played the Cowboys, as you mentioned. They played the Chiefs, and we know how the Chiefs defense has been struggling.
Are they 33rd? Is that a number in the NFL?
Just ask the honey badger. He's not been real happy. And they play the Raiders and the Browns, like you said. So what's interesting though about that, trying to pressure him in a certain way, it reminds me of what you said about Mahomes, about, hey, he likes to bail and roll to a certain side. We can probably do some things in terms of how we structure our pass rush to get him to where we want to go, mm-hmm. and have an opportunity to defend that, as opposed to letting him dictate and roll or get out to where he wants to get out to and where he's comfortable making throws from. We can kind of flip that on its head. And they did some of that to him in that Kansas City game. So it'd be interesting to see if they listen to you again and say, hey, it's another dude who, you know, he shows us kind of how he wants to do that in terms of getting out and getting to a certain side and throwing. Let's take that away and get it to go where we want it to go.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful part about being able to zone blitz teams and you having that in your arsenal, because you can really dictate that to a point where it shifts the offense's conscience and they have to go the other way. They may be successful that way, but eventually they're going to try to come back to what they do best. And you're still going to be waiting there for them, and that's when interceptions happen.
So we know, again, we don't know about the full health of Mike Williams. We know he's made some practices. Doesn't mean he's not going to play. So I'm just going to assume guys are going to play. But we know Mike Williams. Obviously, we know Keenan Allen, the caliber of wide receiver he is. Let me ask you, you mentioned maybe, playing a little bit more press against those guys. Would you just play sides? Or would you do any kind of matchup situation where you say, hey, in certain situations, maybe we're going to put this guy on this guy? Or would you just kind of say, hey, we're going to play our sides?
I would say I would just keep it to our sides. I think you would like to match up Humphrey with Keenan Allen, but Tavon Young has been playing very, very well.
Really good games.
So as a coordinator, you don't feel obligated to have to do that because you got two guys playing well. Yeah. And you got safeties who are playing well. So you're not going to change anything. You're just going to ask the guy over there, like, I need you to play better. I'm not going to change what I'm doing with four or five other guys to help you. I need you to help yourself. And if you can't help yourself, I will help you out.
And not the kind of help that you want.
And you don't want me to help you out.
Right. Man, you mentioned Tavon. I mean, I know, there was a little, unsportsmanlike penalty, but we saw that BS that Doyle did. But Tavon admitted, hey, I got to keep my cool, no excuse. But he looked like, because we talked about him earlier. We talked about him in the Detroit game, Kansas City game. We're like, still trying to get his legs back. He's obviously missed a lot of football. He looked like old Tay. He looked like
that's important. Definitely going to be important, especially playoff times when, if you're hanging around, you're going to see Mr. Hill, you're going to see Mr. Beasley.
Yeah.
You know what two you got to go through.
Yeah.
Better be prepared.
Yeah. You get him back playing at, his prime where he was before the injuries, and you had one of the best nickels in the league. I mean, that's why they paid him the way that they did at that time, because that's how they saw it. Yeah. So you get that back, and man, you got something special. Even without Pete, I mean, we talking about all this, and you don't have Peters, but you're still talking about a good secondary, a very good secondary, even without with the juice man there. Yeah, even with the juice man. So we know about those receivers. Couple. Tall tight ends. Jared Cook still doing it in the league. Man, Jared Cook been around for a long time. He's still doing it in the league. And they got another dude, Donald Parham. I think he was like a basketball convert from college.
Big I dude. Felt like he – wasn't he with Cleveland for a little bit or something?
Yeah, I don't know where he was before. I remember the basketball.
Cleveland, Green Bay, something like that.
I know he's like 6'5", 6'6", yeah. Something like that.
I saw him catch a touchdown, and he didn't want to be tackled, so – that told me everything I need to know about basketball.
Like that. No, he's only been with the Chargers. 2020 came into the league in 2020.
Okay.
He's only been with the Chargers, and where did he go to school? Stetson. He's a Stetson.
So they ran option? That's interesting.
Yeah, he's big. He's big, tall. They list him at 6'8". Good Lord, I knew he was tall. He's a big, tall dude. So you know, they got some guys who can post you up a little bit there. Not like big physical guys. Hillman Cook, you know, they're not like big body. Not in terms of weight.
Which is why they struggle in the run game.
But and that was going to be the last part that I asked you about, is their run game, because I think people know about Eckler. They probably think about him a little bit more out of the backfield. You talked about screen game, draw game, that kind of thing. But it kind of surprised me looking at their numbers, because I don't want to say I thought they were a bad running team. I didn't think they were a bad running team, but they've put up pretty decent rushing.
Well, when you're spread out and drawing people half to death, yeah, that's going to work. Yeah. But eventually, as the weather cools, and that's when they start to struggle. That's kind of what happens to San Diego. About around Halloween, they start their normal 5-game skid because it's a little cold and don't want to travel, can't run the football. So I'm not going to be disrespectful to their run game, because that's when you get yourself in trouble. But it's one of those games, once again, I'm not putting more than 6 people in the box. Y'all better figure it out.
Got to make it
figure work. Figure it out.
Yeah. Because the other thing, you know, you got working for you. And again, I was telling somebody today, if I have not learned any lesson about this season, it's to not underestimate reserve players. I want to put that disclaimer out there before I say this, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it. People may know they've been without their starting right tackle since that first game against the Washington football team. Brian Bulaga, he's been out. He played like the first half. He got hurt, been on IR. Just put their right guard on IR coming out of this Browns game. So he's done for a while, and they've got somebody Ravens fans may remember, Michael Schofield, who was with the team during the preseason. He got in and played a big chunk. Actually, most of that game, because their right guard got hurt early. I want to say he played like 6 snaps, something. And then Schofield.
Yeah, I think Schofield came in about the 5-minute mark of the first quarter, somewhere around there.
So you got a backup at right tackle, Storm Norton. Another dude, just you look at him, big tall dude. Doesn't look like he's got much of an anchor. You know, we saw what Schofield was in the preseason. So again, I put the disclaimer out there, just because these guys are reserves, don't think, oh, we just gonna come in and dominate these dudes. We've seen how that has gone early in the season with some of the other teams that have reserve O-linemen in. But I think, you know, you go into it thinking, hey, you know, we take a look at these guys, there's probably going to be a weak link. And I mean, I think that's something you probably always do, right? You look at the O-line, you say, okay, who do you think we can get after? Who do we think we can attack here on the O-line? Obviously, everybody knows about Slater, Rashawn Slater, their left tackle, who they drafted. He's a stud. By the way, I mean, he's a stud right now.
See, here's a quick thing that I think people need to understand on both sides of the ball. When there's a weak link, you don't attack the weak link directly. You have to attack the strongest link to make the weakest link be exposed. Because if you attack the right tackle and you keep attacking the right tackle, then the team's going to adjust. So you're now forcing their hand to say, they're attacking the right tackle, they're getting around the corner, guess who they're eventually going to leave singled up on the right guard? Campbell. In that one weird particular instance that there's a one-on-one, all I need Campbell to win that one time and give me a sack fumble. That's it. And that's kind of how you have to attack teams who are not at full strength. You got to attack the actual full strength people to get these cats thinking, well, oh, I'm good. And that's it.
That's it. And we've seen it. We've seen it in these games. Yes. It's literally come down to like that one situation. Make a play in one situation to get the ball back, to force a third down, force a field goal, then go out and block it, you know, whatever. So, yeah, now that's a good point. That's a very good point. So I don't have anything else on the Chargers. Do you? Is there any other thing you wanted to point out?
I will say something about their defense. Their safeties are amazing. Don't get me wrong. And I think Bosa is a quality pass rusher. But I hope they follow what Cleveland did against San Diego, which is run at Bosa. I don't understand why teams don't do it, but you need to do it more. You run at their best player, you take him out, you tire him out. So when Lamar does his play action fake and you've run at Bosa six or seven times in the last 10 plays, take the bite out of the dog. So just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, on the defense side of the ball, I talked about some of their injuries on the offensive side. Man, this one I was paying attention to because you know my boy was over there, Kenneth Murray. He got hurt a couple games ago.
Did he fall over from not using his hands?
I had to go back and watch the specific injury. So anyway, Kenneth Murray is on IR. They had another good linebacker in there though, Drew Tranquil. He just got hurt.
Their two replacements. Whoo, against Cleveland. Yeah, no wonder they put up 40.
Yeah, Kaiser White was 44. He was in there to start the game. He's a little light in the pants. He's like 218.
Light is an understatement.
He's a little light in the pants. And then I didn't see who came in after Tranquil got hurt. I don't remember the number.
It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, so just something to think about. Again, we just said it. Disclaimer with reserves and all of that. But you know, that could be a scary issue for those dudes. Like you said, if you can get Lamar on those edges or even get him up inside when they're doing, you know, the counter stuff or the power read stuff, could get scary up in there for those
guys. Yeah, and it seems like Mr. Bell's about to get his last audition this week too.
Yeah, there's been some scuttlebutt around that. We'll leave that one there. but I also get to see Derwin, and I'm really excited about that because we haven't had an opportunity to see him a whole lot. And, man, watching him in that Cleveland game, that dude just back there prowling. Just prowling.
And you going to show off your Darwin tattoo?
And they move him around, and he'll come up, and he'll blitz. You know, he'll play a flat. I mean, I guess Staley is using him kind of like how he used – Jalen Ramsey when he was DC for the Rams last year. Put him in that star spot, move him all around, let him do a bunch of different things. And he's doing a bunch of different things in terms of making plays and stuff like that. So I'll be watching that side of the ball as well because they got some dudes over there. They got some dudes. But anyway, yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll wrap it up here. This is a good show. We'll give you a little meaty show here. Good recap, good preview. And like I said, I want to continue to kind of, you know, pump that film breakdown because I think that's going to be fun. We'll try to get that out. And as always, please like, please subscribe, please download. We got the DM from Trent Washington, so we know you're interacting with us. You know, continue to do that. We appreciate that. Thank everybody. And hey, man, we are out of here, and we're going to talk to y'all. Be good.